All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, here, step onto the set.
Oh, wow, bright lights.
Yeah, it's my YouTube cooking show.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, there's the thug chef and the angry chef and the guy who, like, says he's going to cook stuff, but he just smashes it. And I went for a more kind of straight-laced thing.
Yeah, what's your hook?
Cooking. You know, I make food.
Is that the name of the show, Cooking? I think there's going to be real bad SEO.
It's actually Cooking is the name of the show. So there's a question mark there.
Okay.
And lots of ellipses.
Yep.
So I wanted to have you in here because I have made one of your favorite thing, some leavened bread.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you had a religious upbringing.
Yep, that's my favorite thing. 51 weeks out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to see if you're going to taste it and see if you can guess the secret ingredient.
Oh, Gary, I don't know if I like this.
No, it's okay. It's good now. Oh. Here, eat the bread.
Okay.
Mm. Oh. All right, so you're getting some cinnamon.
A little bit. It's a little bit earthier in there.
Yeah, there's something kind of earthy in there. A little bit of a little cilantro, a little garlic, a little lemon zest.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You know, really some smaller breads.
Yeah, you just mixed smaller breads.
Yeah, you're gonna find little tiny breads inside the bigger bread.
Oh wow, that's like a Pepperidge Farm sandwich then.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I got it.
And I think that you will find the most. Can you taste the cumin in there?
Yeah, no, it's down there. But like, you know, I really don't like being overwhelmed with cumin. I think that cumin is more of a Harrison than a McCartney, you know?
Well, let's add a little bit more if you can't hear it to the bread. This isn't my cumin.
Whose cumin is it?
Let me get my assistant. Nick!
Yeah, hello. Hey, what's up?
Hi, Nick.
Hey.
Hey.
What'd you do with my cumin?
I don't know, man.
This is not my cumin. This is clearly a different kind of spice. You replaced it.
Yes.
It's kind of got this like.
Damn it,
I have
Nick.
No idea where you're going with the randomization, Gary.
Gary, you know Nick can't be held responsible for his actions.
I know. Nick is. It's because he hasn't been baptized yet because he replaced my cumin with catechumen.
Oh.
Catechumen.
It tastes Roman. Gary, that was dumb.
It was real dumb. I don't, I'm beyond caring. I have no fucks left to give, Cole.
Okay.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
This is Nick Lauber.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the show where you play bad games that Nick dictates to us. Well,
Nick, why'd you do this to us?
I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So Nick, people will know you from Check It Out, Comrade.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll know
and
you. Good.
In various events.
Yep.
Yep. Various events. A couple episodes of Bonfireside Chat, you know, here and there.
Yeah. The intro to Monster in My Podcast.
That's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nick's Picks.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the
Nick.
Best skit on that show, yeah.
the titular Nick.
Yeah.
The Nicular Tit.
No, not the Nick Weird.
The Nicular Tits. The titular Nick.
But yeah, this is my first time on Abject Suffering, so thanks for inviting me, guys.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. So the game we're playing this time, it is a late 90s PC shooter called Catechumen.
Yeah.
Which is named after some kind of acolyte from the early Christian church or something like that.
It's not specific. It's a Christian convert under instruction before baptism.
Okay.
So it's like you get that little catechumen window.
Yeah.
You're a catechumen. Like you get the instructions, you're a catechumen. And then you get your baptism.
Okay. So
it's like a Doppler effect thing. Yeah. Like you just have this like one little bit where you get to be a catechumen.
And right now, can we sing the disclaimer song? Just because this game is silly doesn't mean that we make fun of your beliefs. Ha!
That's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the true today is when it was written.
What is funny about this game is not any of its religion tone, but rather it's a attempt to add up that to a first-person shooter.
Right.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing you expect from Enlightening Entertainment.
Enlightening Entertainment. Yeah, and
as I first said it in my head, Nelightening.
Nelightening. And they've only ever made two games, both Christian FPSs in the same vein, and both of which are like the highest budgeted Christian games ever, apparently. and then they went defunct immediately afterwards.
Yeah, from 0.8 million for Catechumen to 1.6 million for Ominous Horizons, A Paladin's Calling, in which you play an assistant to Johannes Gutenberg, the publisher of the Bible, chasing after a demon that stole an original copy of the Gutenberg Bible. That's great.
Yeah.
That's real good.
I want to have that adapted to like to like a modern game. Like, not that one. Like, I want to play that story.
You want that game, just not as it came out.
Mm.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Just call it the Gutenberg Quest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now go for it.
Into it.
Yeah, but this is their first game for Nelightning. So Nick, why did you bring this to us?
Well I was struggling to come up with a bad game that you guys hadn't already done, and remembered this game, which I was exposed to by the speedrunner Peaches during a Bad Games Done Quick block at a very early GDQ.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember it being hilarious and very entertaining, and then didn't realize at the time, because Gary asked me like Friday before a weekend that we were out of town what if I wanted to be on the show.
It's a douchebag move on my part.
Oh no.
But, yeah. So I was like, oh yeah, that game, and then I spent like all night Sunday trying to get it running to any reasonable effect and set you guys the instructions. I just didn't have, I thought this would be really fun to do, and and unfortunately the struggle was real in getting it running, but I hope it was worth it for you guys.
Man, so many steps. I really appreciate the effort that you went to explain that. No, because
you should make a game fac.
Yeah.
Oh geez, like,
you could do a game fac about how to get Catechumen running, dude.
Yeah, like, I probably could at this point.
Yeah, no,
I'm probably the foremost expert at this point.
No copyright intended.
Yeah,
but there we had to download two different disk images of it. We had to mount one of those for copy reasons. We had to limit the frame rate on this thing because it doesn't go for modern systems. Gary, you didn't end up being able to run this, did you?
Well, I got it to run, but I couldn't get it to run through the frame limiter thing. That would not fire. It would not run from that interface. So I just ran it super fast version that was really, really choppy and crashy.
Yeah,
because it cannot handle that frame rate.
And what's great about not locking the FPS is very, very early on into the game, you get the weapon. You start off with no weapons, and an archangel comes down and tells you your goal and turns into a sword. And if your frame rate's running too fast, he just stays there and never turns into a sword.
Oh, so yep. That's what happened.
That happened to me as well. And then I looked it up online as what you're supposed to do about that. We had to park on that archangel for a little while, though, because I've never seen somebody with an arm ratio like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The wingspan on this guy.
Well, and how thick his biceps are, as thick as his waist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got huge, huge muscle arms.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
We call that the Chris Redfield ratio.
Yeah, even more so. He's like, he's beefier than Chris Redfield. Because Chris Redfield has like big old thighs too. Like, he's just a muscle boy.
Yeah.
In general, like Beef Boy and Lieutenant is how you play Resident Evil 6.
Yeah. Beef Boy, but this Archangel's just got dainty little legs hanging down.
Yeah, everyone has really, really short legs. Like, the proportions are fucked up in this. But this guy specifically, and to have him not do anything, he's like, he gave me a sword, and I thought, okay, the sword went directly into my inventory.
Nope.
So I ran around, I was trying to get to work, I was like, oh, it's probably an unreasonable button, kind of zipped around, led a bunch of these soldiers back to the Archangel, and they just we ran around them like a sprinkler for a while at super fast Benny Hill speeds, and then they hugged me to death.
Yeah, they just got to grab you and stare at you.
Just shake your shoulders and try to make you have your come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. Or no, not your come to Jesus, leave Jesus.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, reject
come
Jesus.
From Jesus. Yep. Yeah.
Because in a grand tradition, you don't have a health meter, you have a faith meter.
Drugs are mm-hmm. fun. They grab your shoulders.
Yeah.
Sex feels good.
Just points to themselves, says, this guy fucks.
The amazing thing about the health being called faith is that you also take faith damage when you fall.
I thought God would catch me.
Why isn't Michael Caine here to describe why I fall?
Higher and higher. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And the way that those guys do it, so if one person hugs you, you just take a little bit of faith damage, right? Like it's kind of the equivalent of like a bird shitting on you, you know? It's kind of yeah. like, oh, damn it.
Curse, damn it, Jesus.
Curse the angel who made this day. But if while he is holding on to you and saying, ah, you lug, or saying, move around that way, and another one comes up and hugs you, if more than two men hug you, there's something terrible going on, and that causes you to die.
That has to be intentional, right? Like, you get one shoulder rub from a buddy.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're only allowed one or two.
Well, you know, you only
After
have...
that, it's a pattern.
There are only so many possible orientations for the Christian side hug. Like, configurations for that.
And, right. You can't do a full-on hug. And if both your sides are already taken up,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's the only thing just have to grab your dinger.
Yeah. If there's no daylight, there's no room for Jesus. And so it's just exactly. It's a real big mess. Yeah.
Yeah, hover hand the stuff.
Yeah, and so the angel came down and said, "Ah, you must take the sword of faith and avoid confrontation, except while you kill these people, because even though they disagree with you, they're actually possessed by demons, so it's okay to kill them. But don't worry." I thought that he, you know, so I didn't get the sword, I guess, because I wasn't running through the frame rate limiter. So I thought that I was going to get the sword at the end of the level, so it was like a stealth level kind of thing.
Me too. Yeah, because it tells you that he says, yeah. So I did that too. I just kind of speed ran trying to get to the end, but eventually just ran into like a big hug pile.
Yeah.
You can't be cuddled to death like if you try to leave.
Which, the fact, why is there a video game that casts a hug pile as a world ending, life ending thing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like the Romans weren't violent to Christians.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because they didn't want to make it violent. Like if you go to christiananswers.net/spotlight/games2001catechumen.html, you can find the Christian review to this, the guide to letter two games that this guy does by Rick Castile. And the ratings that he rates video games are genre.
Okay.
Christian rating, gameplay, violence, adult content.
Okay.
And it's really weirdly reversed. So like violence, it gets a score of 4 out of 5 for not having very much violence. Adult content, it gets a 5 out of 5 for having none. But it has a Christian rating of 5 because there's nothing offensive in it.
So there's no consistency about whether you want a high number or a low number?
No, no. And then did either of you guys find this?
I saw, but I didn't read it. Yeah.
The Game Facts review?
No, this is christiananswers.net.
Christian review.
All right.
Yeah, give us the lowdown.
The best part about it, so he does his review. He says, like, you know, this proves that Christian games can be exactly as powerful and awesome as mainstream games, et cetera, totally worth your time and money. Do not overlook it. The user comments, check out this fucking wiener right here. I'm 28 years old, and this game scared me. The lower dungeons and demons were a little too much. I definitely wouldn't let kids play this. I think it would give them nightmares. It gave me nightmares.
Wow.
Granted, I'm sure real demons are much worse.
Oh, okay.
But at least if I had to confront one, I'd have the authority of the name of Jesus and wouldn't have to rely on my swordsmanship. I also gave the game a Christian rating of 3 for that reason. So what the fuck, man? What a wiener. You had nightmares from catechumen. Fuck you.
what a delicate little like dandelion. Just the slightest breeze.
Let's stuff this person in a locker so bad.
I'll fucking show you a demon. Just like that brings out the worst in me hearing that.
Yeah, it really does. It's like blood in the water.
Yeah,
like it activates that gene, like from that Simpsons episode with the bully spray. That makes them crazy.
And what's even crazier about that, like, but not as scary as a real demon, am I right? You know, like,
yeah. And if there was a real demon, like, you don't, who are you preaching to?
Yeah.
Like, this is, you have a captive audience here. You don't have to make this point. You know, I don't.
But like when it's said like that in that context and whatever, I'm not a religious person, so et cetera, all those disclaimers, mentioning like not as scary as a real demon is kind of like saying, oh, this birthday was pretty cool, but it's not like if I saw the tooth fairy for real. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. I'm not trying to be an edgy atheist, but like
at least I would have some change to show for it.
Yeah, a shiny Sacagawea dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, just like, and that's an emotional response. I can't stop that. Like, no. Intellectually, I know that it's not the most charitable thing to say, but like, just I hear somebody say, but not as scary as a real demon. And just like,
oh, geez, guy. And then, so all of these responses are pretty good. This is Titus Webb, who's 26 years old. I love how they put their age in because it just it makes it impossible not to. It looks like the bad reviews are out for this game. I, for one, supported in its effort. I live in the same town as the company and know one of the programmer's parents. For one, they did not steal anything from other game companies like Doom. So a nice little subtweet to Noah's Ark.
Funny you, Wisdom Tree.
Secondly, they started from the ground up, bought a graphics engine, blah, blah, blah. They kept the good, dropped the bad. Okay, here we go. I'm sure in the worldly eyes, this game, as with all Christian influence movies, music, will get a bad review because it does not have the worldly presence of blood and guts. But think on this, all caps. How many games have the school shooters identified as their model? How many kids emulate the shooting and fighting they see in games? For us Christians out there, finally, we have a good game to play without having to listen to people curse or see any gore. You just zap people with a sword in this game.
Yeah, it's still a fucking violent game.
It's my Undertale problem where it's like, if you just recontextualize the act of shooting, it doesn't actually change it.
Right.
Like you're engaging with the system in the exact same way. You're just calling it something different, you know? Yeah.
That's actually the Columbine thing is a real big connection that they sell a lot in the Wikipedia article too. Apparently, they were trying to get investors for this game, and until the Columbine High School massacre, they like couldn't get funding. And then after that, there was like people really wanted a video game that wasn't about violence, and then they were able to achieve Catechumen.
But they're so unimaginative as they just make a game that is about violence. They just change what happened, like what they're calling it.
Right.
It gets even worse. There's like a chain gun that's just swords. It's called the tri-repeater, and it's just like three swords that spin exactly like a chain gun would.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, stop doing that. If you're not actually making a point with your mechanics, you're not making a point.
Moses' staff shoots a rocket launcher. It's just a staff that the magic bullet works exactly like a Doom rocket launcher.
This game would not go over so well if you run up and hug a demon or kiss a bat. So try focusing on the spiritual battle aspects. All these little reviews, I love, there's one kid here who actually just calls it out for being a really shitty game.
Okay.
This little Christian teen, his name is Red, age 17, and he's the one who actually just like reviews it. Like it's outdated, running around sucks, graphics are bad, takes forever to load. You know, he's just like, he's interested in the game. And that to me, like in one web page, you can see the disconnected between people who like Christian kids who want to play video games and Christian adults who want to make Christian video games.
Mm. Right.
Like the disconnect is right here. This is the link.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't mean that they have bad taste just because of their religion.
No.
You know, like they probably still want good games. Like Katamari, those kids.
Yeah.
You know, like get those kids games that actually don't ape this stuff and are charming and good without engaging in it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's really disingenuous, actually.
Yeah,
like
cynical
when it comes around here. Yeah, there's a review or sorry, an interview done with a Charisma magazine that came out. I think just
Cole. I was praying that was the name of the guy. Like that was like it was just like an interview with Charisma Jones,
the Charisma
director of Catechumen.
Charisma Jones. No, the guy's name is Ralph Bagley. I was looking this up, and most of the sources that I got, I did a control F on these. Most of them mentioned Columbine at least five or six times.
Oh, geez.
But Bagley, he really hits on this this whole notion of like if you go to E3, pretty much 80% of everything you see is based in the occult. And so, like, you know, we want to give our kids characters that don't have anything to do with the occult. And just it's kind of a point of view that I have no sympathy or insight into. Like, it really is. I don't consider other Christian game producers as competition. I view them as fellow ministers going into the dark satanic arena of video games. Like, if you have that antagonistic,
you're not going to make a good product. With your art form.
Yeah.
Like, you can't approach a creative act from that perspective.
Right. And if you have creators who are just like coming out of the gate saying, we're making an alternative for so-and-so, you're going to have, you know, people who can't actually engage with this on like any kind of actual level. Right. Mm-hmm. Any kind of, you know, objective isn't the right word, but any kind of like honest or good faith level, like, oh, you know, sure. People who are worldly, like, it just, you dig into this fucking kind of Breitbart style thing where like whoever disagrees with me is obviously morally compromised because the structure is against us and this thing is actually good. Like, the number of hoops that people have to jump through to get there is actually really just kind of baffling.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one thing you guys didn't get to see by getting the sword, which is when you actually shoot one of the Roman soldiers, not for the demons or anything, but when you shoot a Roman soldier because they're chasing you down, mm-hmm. instead of dying, they fall to their knees and pray, and it goes, hallelujah.
I saw that in the speedrun and some other YouTube stuff I watched of this game.
Yeah,
kind of research. Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Like it.
So I was having trouble figuring out how to get past kind of that first plaza. Kind of level thing where those two Roman soldiers are guarding the front door.
Oh, and, yeah. And the level design is atrocious.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
Like, garbage.
There's nothing to direct you to where you're supposed to go. And things that are doors do not look like doors.
No, no. Yep. Like, doors are not lit up. Here's just an incredibly dark corner that blends in with everything else. Yep. And maybe, just maybe, you will have jumped on this bench to pick up this key that looks like a Kingdom Hearts keyblade. But as I was like running around in this place, trying to figure out the way forward, I kept on triggering the voice barks for these Roman soldiers, which consisted entirely of different inflections of, what are you looking at?
Yep.
Yep.
What are you looking at?
They're very, very mob-like.
Yep.
The Roman mob.
It's down like a very kind of like slapstick kind of thing. It is not just that they're saying it like that. So please understand, I'm not saying it was just the same wave repeated over and over again. That would have been a different kind of funny. These are different actors performing different kind of accents on, what are you looking at?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, put on random rotate.
Yep.
For every character.
They put a bunch of money into their voice acting and not very much into the writing. Like, there just aren't enough barks, but there are a lot of different time in the studio.
Voice acting in games.txt.
Yeah.
But even the barks, as people are like the idle chat of the guards in the catacombs, saying, why are we guarding this place? This place stinks.
Cole, did you manage to notice too that like every audio is directional, but not in the right direction?
Right.
So good. $0.8 million.
Not money laundering at all. Not money laundering at all. Don't worry. Go back to sleep. Like,
yeah. Oh my god.
So Nick, you got it to run, right? Like you managed to achieve the maximal frame rate number to get the sword, right?
Yeah. So I managed to get the sword. You know, I played it for the requisite half hour. and could not take it anymore. But yeah, I mean, you guys really didn't miss much beyond that. You get past those soldiers after jumping on more benches and finding more keys. and you get weapon upgrades from more angels as you continue on through the game.
Mm-hmm.
In order to restore health, you have to pick up scriptures. They're just like lying around everywhere, just like these, you know, rolls of paper. and that's your health. When you run out of ammo, there's just like swords and staffs that start cluttering the floor more and more as you progress through the game. It's not like a pickup object, you know, something that's like floating and has some sort of iconography around it, so you know it's a pickup. They're just lying on the ground.
Someone just dropped it.
Yeah. So it was so rare that this angel gave you a magical sword, but then in the later half of the game, they're just lying all over the ground so that you can restore your ammo.
You can just pick up any sword and absorb its swordy essence in order to power your holy sword. Oh,
yeah.
God.
And I mean, the game is just that there's like a couple physics puzzles that I've seen that it's the worst because it's not like it has a full physics engine. You can just kind of slide objects around on two axes and you have to move boxes around to get up some platforming portions. And the jump is atrocious as well. So.
Yeah.
Why they decided to do anything physics-based is beyond me. And that just continues on and on until you fight Satan.
Yep.
Whenever I can out jump a video game protagonist, it's a problem. Like, it just says me. I'm looking at the game facts for this, and you know, the enemies, you know, it's Roman soldiers, imps, mm-hmm. devils, hound of hell. Okay. You also fight a minotaur and a werewolf at some point, which I did not think were explicitly anti-Christian. Like, I haven't read the Bible in a very long time. Like, do you fight werewolves in it? Does the main character fight werewolves, or is there a lycanthropy subplot that I missed? Because I feel like that's not very, that is more evidence of this being a money laundering scheme of some kind.
Like, if it was released today, you could probably just accuse them of grabbing some stuff off the Unity asset store.
Exactly. Yeah. They just bought some werewolves and some minotaurs.
We got surplus werewolves here.
Yep.
Well, they're in love with those minotaurs because the bonus stuff that you get if you beat this game in Impossible, not only do you get the gallery of the different developers, if you jump toward the poster of the producer, Mr. Bagley, you jump through it and you end up landing in like the Minotaur's lair.
Yeah. Mm. It's just a gigantic Minotaur filling up this small little village that you can never escape from.
I love that.
Yep. Oh gosh. Yeah, so my experience with this game, unlike Gary, I was able to get it to run. However, I guess it was running too fast anyway. I compared it with the speed run and I saw that it was moving very fast there. So I figured, okay, nothing is wrong here. This is just a very, very poorly tuned game. And then I remembered, oh, I get motion sick really, really easily. So I was playing this and you have like Doomguy X3 speed as you're doing this in a full 3D kind of area and also with a very inconsistent frame rate.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so like I was playing this, I was like, uh-oh, I'm gonna be down for the count for like 3 hours if I play any more of this. So like I finished up that level. I figured, okay, well I'm gonna get to the end of this this first stage, you know, through these barracks of these soldiers complaining about the stink of the catacombs. And then when I get to the end of the stealth level, I'm going to get the sword and it's going to be fine. Everything's gonna be a-okay, please God. But then nope, there's just another angel who wants to give me another sword but doesn't go away.
Yeah. that's it forever. There actually is still a problem on Peach's speedrun where I first, you know, got introduced to all this. He, however, didn't have like tools to try and fix it like I was trying to do. That apparently still didn't really work out all that great. He instead stares out when an angel's in the room, stares at like places with a lot of lighting and particle effects to try and lag it down enough that the angel will successfully run the script where he turns into a sword.
Well, it's a harrowing speed run because he's dealing with the crashes too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
he keeps asking partway through it whether he should just stop. Like, do I need to finish? Because it's like, it's pretty good.
Should we just refund the money? I'm sorry, Doctors Without Borders.
I knew you were going to try to buy one border with this, but now you can't. Yeah,
try to buy one border.
Yeah, every year they do that. They get to buy one border until eventually they have a house to live in. So, Doctors Without Borders. For I'm watching the end boss, and he keeps going through these red gates to fight Satan in this like floating mystery void thing.
It's ferocious, yeah.
And when he goes through these gates into these rooms, I get to see the thing Nick was talking about, where it's like all the weapons lying on the ground for him. That's very funny. I don't know if it quite came through in the description, but it's really good. Like, it just looks like somebody left like 7 magic swords on the ground.
Yeah.
And they're not like regular looking swords or symbols for swords. They're the actual weapons. So it's like Moses's 3 Peter and stuff that you're picking up.
There's
your
one other...
is so big in your screen too. Your weapon takes up like a quarter of your screen.
Yeah,
it's huge.
It's a real dichotomic kind of problem.
Yeah.
There's one other real good funny bit from the speedrun where he finds like this room that has a big button that just says "Do not press." And outside this window, you can see like this temple or something, some government building, and there's a bunch of Roman soldiers running at you. And he's kind of taking too long to explain, so it doesn't really happen. But supposedly, if you press the button fast enough, that building explodes, and if it hits any of the Roman soldiers, they still like kneel down and pray, like as if you had shot him with a sword.
Literally, like the sub for death thing.
The building destruction turned them into Christians.
This entire fight with Satan is Satan hiding behind a pole. Yeah. Like, and Satan is so scared of you.
And he transfers between rooms constantly, and he has like a million health. It's like half of the speed run is him fighting that stupid boss.
It's like 25 minutes of a 45 minute speed run.
Ridiculous. There's a game that has a cover very similar to this that I've seen in thrift stores and stuff. Like one of the, like the Rome game, like Rome Total War.
Definitely Rome Total
War.
One of
the Age of Empires likes. Yeah, like looks exactly like this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine getting this on accident? It'd be amazing. Like if you had a computer that could run it like perfectly and stuff, you put this in, think you're going to get like a strategy game about Roman soldiers, and like this is what you get.
Just imagine like a little kid who would have, you know, who just like saw Rome Total War in a magazine, thought like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. Like the vibrant life that would have, you know, rested ahead of them, you know, after having played this and gotten into kind of like these really big massive strategy games, like, you know, playing Paradox stuff, maybe going to study history at college, mm-hmm. you know, just ending up just with a real understanding and a grasp of this really important and central thing in human life, and just a better understanding of what it means, you know, to live amongst others and, you know, understand conflict, right? Just all of that derailed by that one grandma mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. She inevitably like got it at Big Lots for $5 too.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you say from Big Lots?
Big Lots, yeah.
Yeah, this is such a Big Lots game.
It is.
Like, I love Big Lots games. When I was back home, I didn't stop in at Big Lots, much to my chagrin. Like, I didn't end up having time to do it, but I wish I had stopped in at Big Lots.
Big Lots is a panic attack. Every Big Lots I've ever been in has been so cramped.
I love Big Lots.
It's
just the weird place to buy, like, season 2 of the Alf cartoon for $1.
Yeah.
Like, entire, like, seasons of weird old cartoons and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I last time I went to Big Lots was to buy a factory refurb vacuum cleaner, and it was just like I was sweating, I was like breathing really hard, I was like, oh my god, this is terrible. And I looked at a shelf and I saw it was like Larry the Cable Guy brand chicken breading. and that pushed me over the edge. It's like, no.
When I was in high school, I lived off of some Big Lots poison flavored energy drinks. Those were must have taken like years off the end of my life, I'm sure.
Do you remember the name of them?
Oh no, I'm sure it was like 7 different brands. All of them cost 99 cents at various different times.
Yep.
And they all tasted exactly like poison.
Like Venom, Orange Blitz, like shit like that. That stuff's amazing. Like bad energy drinks. When I first moved out, well, I was telling this, we talked about this over Gamertweet weekend a little bit, but like when we went to either our first PAX or our second PAX, we went to Nick, the 5-hour energy people set up a booth to give out free 5-hour energy all weekend at PAX, which is such a misguided, that's such a bad idea. And during that time, like there were days, and this is not an act I'm condoning, this is, I'm talking about this thing I did that was probably a mistake, like where I probably drank like 4 of those.
Oh no.
In a day. And there's definitely a time, and no joke, I definitely drank one of those because I was thirsty once. There's no good water. And I'm like, I need something wet. I don't care what it is. I'm going to take this barely legal street drug to try to quench my thirst.
There were definitely some days where I drank more hours of energy than their actual day hours in that day.
You ended up with a remainder. No.
The 25th hour is the dregs.
Yeah.
You're just drinking the solids at the bottom of your little, like, nitrous oxide cartridge shaped drink vessel.
It is shit like a nitro cartridge, isn't it?
Yeah, man, it's just meant to be this little like future drug. So weird.
Yeah, the 25th hour is what you sweat out.
Yeah.
While you're attempting to sleep, eyes wide.
Yeah, exactly. You keep failing at sleep.
Was this the inspiration for Nas Energy Teeth?
I think that was Nas themselves.
What's that?
Yeah, that was just Nas. Okay. That was the Nas Energy Girls who were set up the year before, who had like a booth, like it packs the way when we went, and this could be different because I haven't gone for a long time, but it was like 3 floors. It was like the main floor, which is all the big stuff, and then the indie corner, this weird little interstitial floor that was like even more indie stuff, and then a top floor that had like tabletop things and like stores. Like you go there and you if you wanted to buy old D&D modules and shit. They had stuff there. And the Nas Energy girls were up on the top floor, weirdly enough. So it was Notch was there, like the Minecraft people were there.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of D&D stuff, a couple of weird indie games and weird trading card things. Those Gamers for Christ thing, just keeping on topic, which are always at conventions and no one ever is at their booth. And then the Nas Energy girls, like standing out like they're dressed up like race cars, essentially, like the same kind of like iconography that race cars have. You know, and just trying to give everyone really, really foul taste in Nas.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they're really obnoxious. They had a guy who had like a megaphone who was talking exactly like the worst, you know, morning zoo radio person.
Yeah,
like DJ Switch from the first year of Portland Retro Gaming Expo. like before DJ Switch,
before somebody put a limiter on that switch,
dialed him back, put an FPS limiter on DJ Switch.
So. Oh man. Oh. So there's a little bit of GameFAQs gold here, but I want to so I looked into the developers, because anytime you have something like this that is obviously a passion project, you want to look at the people and see where they went. Nobody really went anywhere except one of the guys, one of the lead designer, Christopher Horton, went on to make exploit games for Xbox Live Indie Games, and he really strayed from the path. He made Samurai versus Zombie. Become a zombie and betray your friends. Unlock many heroes and weapons. Watch the blood spray and zombies' heads rolls. guns loaded, epic side-scrolling action, warp time, giant bombs. Be the best pilot. Music from bullets in a burning box and broken sticks. Broken spelled B-R-O-K-I-N.
Wow.
Yep.
So
good.
Ralph Bagley. I can't tell if he's good or bad side of suffering, because he lives in Medford, Oregon, which means if he is on the good side, he'd be like our closest ally, Gary and I, at least.
We can go talk to him. We can go find out. he would be like a necessary evil. Like he could be our little finger or like our master of coin. He could be an accountant for our army, because he obviously knows how to make money off of duping people.
Yeah.
Yep.
He can obviously spin tragedies of the day for investment.
Yeah.
And I think that like if he can bankroll us, I think that would actually be really good.
That would be really great, because we're going to have to pay Buffo.
Right.
He's a mercenary clown. Strongman.
Yeah.
And so, Gary, this is the uncomfortable thing. We've talked about how unbalanced the forces of good are versus the forces of evil. Are we assuming that we're on the forces of good?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I thought about that. Yeah.
So we've gone without saying, and I don't, you know, just at a certain point, as we fill out the ranks and as we kind of decide, especially as we look at people like this, you know, it's a question we're going to have to answer, right?
Like, I think you know, history is written by the winners.
Right.
If we call ourselves the forces of good enough, then we're
okay.
The forces of good.
What I would
and
say,
if we win, we can make that the case,
right? And Nick, I guess what it's good that we have you here, just so we can have you weigh out on this, because if it was just Gary and I, it'd probably spin out of control. But you know, do we want to actually take a role in this conflict? That is, you know, we're playing both sides against the middle in order to actually cause them to burn civilization down, so we can rebuild a new world in our own image. And the ashes of the old world, kind of like as a Revolver Ocelot figure.
It sounds great, but like, you have to think about who's on the side of good and who you'd be expending in this war, right?
Okay.
So you can't just waste those kind-hearted, amazing folks that we've discovered through bad video games.
Right.
Like they mean something. They have worth. And I think that you know, if you're not on the side of good, at the very least, you have to know who you're sparing on the side of good.
Okay.
What the human cost is.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm willing to send Buffo into war.
Well, I mean, like, Buffo, he can, you know, he can hold his own, but poor old Spellcraft guy who just wanted to reunite with his lost love, like, I think he's too fragile. I think we're dooming Spellcraft, Jimmy Spellcraft, to certain death.
Yeah. who suggested this goal?
Well, Nick did.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Nick. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yep.
If you like the show, the best way to support it is to go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. and kick us a couple bucks a month. Also, if you like Nick and you like me, you should definitely listen to Check It Out, Comrade, a fun show on the network that not enough people listen to.
Yeah.
It is, I would say, it is the lowest calorie show we do. It is like the smallest investment. Monster My Podcast is very short, but there's like 3 episodes a week. Mm-hmm. It's a half hour every 2 weeks. Super get in, get out. Will not spoil anything for you. It is an easy bite to take.
Yeah.
And I will say, though, although I'm on Check It Out, Comrade, this is by far my most listened to show. So.
Aw.
No, thank you.
That's very sweet of you.
The second I answered your question of who recommended this, obviously Nick did this to me, made me physically ill. We're going to talk about that later, Nick. Evan Jones Thorne, friend of the network, recommended this. Full disclosure, I never played this one. I just know it's a Christian FPS where you shoot lasers out of your sword to convert heathens to Christianity. I literally Billy Graham's Bible blaster.
That sounds pretty great. Thank you, Evan, as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
What other admin we got going on?
Well, if you are in the market for some new apparel, you can get a Check It Out, Comrade shirt.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That logo is on our store along with a bunch of other stuff. Duckfeed.tv/shirts. They're really cool and people seem to like them.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. I wasn't even aware. I need to get me one of those.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah, if you're listening to this as well, or where can people find you online too, Nick, that they want to follow you on social media?
I'm mostly Comrade is my main public works output, but you can find me on Twitter at Nick Pancakes, and I don't tweet a whole lot there, but if you want to reach me, if you want to talk at me, then I'm there. I'm also all the time on the Duckfeed Slack, and I'll be around all the Duckfeed events like Portland Retro Game Expo and Duckstream, so all that good stuff.
Nick will be all over that and is instrumental in it being done.
Yeah.
He's going to be a big help. So thank you to Nick.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you guys for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good time.
So who is Cat-A-Q Dog?
Much better than the Cat-A-Q Cat.
Oh, sure.